Good morning. Top line, 24 is here. Now what? I'm here to remind you of a statement I gave when we left a few days ago. Keep looking up and keep trusting in the living God. I think if we can get that in our heart, that we should be continuing looking up to God. I have to make I'm serious as a heart attack. I have to make an apology to you. Last week when we got up and together we were doing some tag team there, you know, I knew I kind of came out with both barrels there, and but I had some things to say that were important, and I felt almost like a fire hydrant, and I was, my Dale Carnegie probably wasn't what it should have been, you know, in my delivery, if you know what I'm trying to say. And I remember when I went to sleep Sunday night, even when I woke up on the Monday, which was the New Year's Day, and you always reflect on your word of what you've been saying there, because you're thinking in contrast to what you said versus what you wanted to say. You'll always fight that. I didn't say this, I should have said, but I gotta honestly say, I hit you with some things, and I basically tell you everything's gonna get worse. And then I said, may the Lord bless you, may the Lord keep you, and I sent you home. You know, and I'm thinking you could have been a bit sunnier in your whole delivery there. And I promise you, and I it bothered me that I could have, you know, and I could have justified, well, they need some realism, you know. But I apologize to you. I could have been a little, my bedside manner could have been a little better. I could have been a little kinder. Yes, there are difficulties. And maybe you might have had a tendency to believe that I didn't think there was any hope. And here's what I did. I wrote this statement down. I want you to know, even though I said some things, and I'm going to say more things in a minute, I want you to know what I really believe. You got it? Here's what I really believe. So let me tell you what I believe. I believe the Lord. I believe the Lord Jehovah. I believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe the Lord of heaven's armies. I believe the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the bright morning star, the only wise God. I believe he is fully engaged in the lives of his covenant children. I don't think he has dozed off. I don't think for one minute right now. I don't think he has forgotten us. I don't even think he has forgotten his creation. But they're going to have to find out how low they have to go before they say, Lord, be merciful to me right now. I believe all these things. I'm sorry if I didn't tell you that last week. I'm sorry if I told you it's going to be bad. Now go on out there and face the world right now. I apologize to you, but I also believe this, that one day he is going to say that is enough. I believe then he will split the sky. I believe at that moment every tear will be dried. I believe that every question will be answered. I believe that all accounts will be settled in the twinkling of an eye. But until then, this message is still sunny for a new year. Here's sunny. You've been given 12 new chapters. You've been given 12 new chapters in a new year. You've been given 365 pages of opportunities. But even more so than just that, as a covenant child, there's more for me. There's more for you. Our start, our new beginning, whether it's a day by day, maybe it's like the hymn, morning by morning, it's firmly founded in another book. It's another book of 66 books. And it's not just 365 chapters. Do you know the scriptures have 1,189 chapters of brand new start? So you've got more than anybody driving by you on the road right now. So you have reason to lift your sight. Last week we reminded you together without even talking. The concept was these two statements. Look to Jesus. Look to the Word. Look to Jesus. Look to the Word. I opened up with a statement last week that said biblical illiteracy will lead to deception. Biblical illiteracy will lead to deception. Well, what I don't know won't hurt me. That's the dumbest thing. That's not the dumbest statement, but it's sure one of the most dumb. You know, there's a lot of dumb statements people say. Remember in the 70s, the movie, the bumper sticker, loves means you never have to say what? Now, that's the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your life. You won't make it to 40 if you don't learn how to say that. But we had that bond. It was so romantic. That's easy to say. She was dying. She wasn't going to be there. We say dumb things. But biblical illiteracy leads us to deception. So I left you with this statement. Let's get back to the word before it's too late. Stand to your feet as we make our affirmation. And this will not end for the foreseeable future. We say it together. We hold the word up. We lift it up. We make the affirmation. This is what we've got. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Do it again, but louder. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. Before the afternoon is over, this slide will be posted on our Facebook page, LifeGate Church Ministries. You've already checked your Facebook since you're here. I know you. But this will be posted there, and I would encourage you to take the grab of it off there or save the photo. Leave it in your photos. Use it. Look at it. Maybe sit. But it will actually be on the site, a clean copy of it, so you don't have to take a picture of it. It will be there for you so that you can have it. We believe that. Picking up on that same thing, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, the King James Version says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know that. But notice how the New Living turns it just a bit. My people are destroyed because they don't know me. Now, how strong is that right now? See, we're expected to grow. We're expected to grow. We're expected to progress. We are expected to bear fruit. Somebody said, God doesn't need religious nuts. He needs fruit-bearing people. He needs people who will bear fruit. He doesn't need religious nuts. There's plenty of those out there. He needs solid feet on the ground, people that will bear fruit. But tragically, many people don't know where to look. How do you do it? What should we know? And it's not just the people that don't have the knowledge. A lot of times the guys in the pulpit don't have the knowledge. They're mechanical. They're turning it in. They've been given a curriculum that says on Sunday, on the 23rd Sunday of the year or the 15th Sunday there, this is what you're going to say. And we read it and we fill in the blanks there. There's no life. There's no power there. Right now, but even into the new covenant, this was a problem, and the problem remained in the people. Why? Because they stopped looking to Jesus and they stopped looking to the word of Jesus. Does that make sense? That's when the wheels come off. It may not be an overt thing, but over the passage of time, when things crowd in our lives, we stop looking to Jesus. I'm working on an idea of the meaning of looking to him, the author and the finisher. I'm working on those two words. That's later on. You might see that in a few months from right now. And there's something that really works there for us right now. The problem remained. When we stop looking to Jesus, when we stop looking to the word, Linda used a word last week that I wrote down when she said it, and I want to bring it to you. One of the words that she said, the problem is, and she was concerned about the people even that claim to know the Lord, and they do know the Lord, they love Jesus, but they become, she used this word, casualties. They become, and I wrote that word down on my notes and I was looking at it, and do you know what the first six letters of casualties is? Casual. I looked at that and I went, you become a casualty if you are casual. We live in a time now where it's more important in the little church drill that it looks the certain way and makes you feel, oh, that made me feel good. Okay, fine. That's the cherry on top. But that has nothing to do with your growth. Not at all. And a lot of times people, the concept of covenant right now in church is being crowded out by convenience. Convenience is winning over covenant every day. And that's where it is right now. And Linda said, I'm here to lovingly say, we don't want to become casualties. You become a casualty when you are casual with looking to him and looking to the word. And the word is very harsh to the people who have to stand behind a desk like this, or who walk through the house and speak the name of Jesus. Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Now, by this time says you've been around this a long time. What have you? It's like him saying, what have you been doing all this time? What have you been doing? What have you been doing? He said, for by this time, you ought to be teachers. Some of y'all ought to be teachers walking through. Just walk through the place, man. But yet you need somebody to teach you again the first principles of the oracles, or the doctrines is probably the better word, to teach you of the first principles of the doctrines of God. And you have come to need milk, not solid food. The little sweetie pie with her big red bow staring at me right now. And she's eating what is appropriate for her age right now. There's no way she can handle a T-bone steak right now. There's no way she can handle that. Not a way. But there comes a time when she gets a little bit older. Now, if Troy is eating what that baby eats now, there's going to be a problem there. And you notice the spiritual concept. And he has no problem with the T-bone, all right? He has no problem. But spiritually, that's what he's saying. By this time, you should be so strong. And he says, for everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. How do we become casualties? We are casual with the word, with the doctrines. For he is a babe. He's just a baby. You're just a big baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, though, now notice this, this verbiage is kind of fun, that those who by reason of use, I'm coming back to that, have their senses exercised. What do they tell you? Let's take the natural, by reasons of use, by the movement. I've already received the lecture this week. It's a new year. You're going to have to move more. Do you understand that? Yes, ma'am. That's another thing. Okay, with the word, as we are looking to him and looking to the word, we start growing in other things. Other loads aren't a problem now. Other situations are not a problem now because of that movement. Same way in the spirit. Some of us get blown off the side of the road, blown into the water. We're just, it's just awful and terrible because we're not strong enough to discern what is good and what is evil. This is some heavy duty stuff here. This is strong. This and so read it backwards. That if you want to get to where you cannot discern what is good and evil, where you just want to lay down and get run over there, you just keep eating the milk things instead of getting strong enough to stand strong. Basically, what he is saying, you should be getting better by now. And that's what I say to you. And that's what I say to me. That's why I say, what's your message? We should be getting better by now. We should be getting better by now. And you see, this thing of discernment is wise. This word is wise. This word is wise. And speaking of wise, this word, as we said a moment ago, is the foundation of my life. That's not a rabbit's foot. That's not a finger crossed affirmation. That is saying, this is who I am. This is what I am. This is what my house believes. This is what I believe. This is what we're going to believe. And what about someone said, well, God love them. They're going to have to make that decision. They need it, but I'm going to be strong and I'm going to exercise it. And that way my discernment is going to get even stronger because it is the foundation of my life. Speaking of foundation, I ask you a question that all of us have to face, and it's uncomfortable because even I looked at it and did you grow last year? Did you grow in wisdom? Did you grow in discernment? And to the point where, you know, there's some things I don't even have to debate about, and I go, you know what, why is this even a problem? And I see something and I go, that's not good, that's not right, all right, that's not magic. That's not bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. No, that is being around the word and have enough strong stuff inside that you go, that's not good. That's not good. That's not being judgmental. It is being a fruit inspector. You got it? And, well, Jesus was love. He didn't just, oh, yes. Oh, yes, he did. Somebody wrote, Jesus wasn't a nice guy. And somebody go, oh, don't say that. No, what? He walked by a tree one time, a poor tree, just minding its own business. And the tree wasn't doing anything. And he cursed it. And the next time they passed it, little sucker was just hanging like that. It was dead when Jesus. So I say to you, be a fruit inspector. If it doesn't look good, Grandma used to say, if it's walking and quacking, it's a duck. That's discernment. And there's some things you shouldn't even have to debate anymore. In other words, he was saying to them, you should be past this by now. You should have grown by now. If you get casual, you'll get run over. I wrote this, did you grow last year? I'm asking myself. And I answered it by saying it depended on my foundation. And the next thing I wrote, did I learn even from the bad things? And I wrote it again, it depends on my foundation. How did I respond? It depends on my foundation. How did so-and-so, how did you react? It depends on my foundation. What do you believe? It depends on my foundation. And in every moment, even in the failure times, we can learn something. In fact, the word says that if we don't learn from even our failures, the Bible calls us a fool. If we know the word and we continue to look away from Jesus and away from the word lovingly calls me a fool. And it calls anybody who does that. So here I am dealing with messages, and I'm saying here we are at a brand new year. What words jump out? Number one, how do we stand? How do we remain stable? How do we remain secure right now? And because we're going to need this, because the next round of tyranny is going to be, now here's my not sunny, but it's truthful. The next round of tyranny is going to be worse than anything you've ever seen before in your life. Please, 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 please be alert. Please be alert. Fill your heart and your mind with the word and the good things. Well, how do you know the good things? Is it witnessing inside of you? Be careful, but the foundation is the word. The foundation is the word. I've had people send me all kinds of prophecies. I believe in the prophetic gift. I don't believe in a gift where a guy has a word and then you have to give him a certain amount of money for it. If there's money flying around, no, 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 no. It says in Proverbs, run, Forrest, run. Somebody comes to you and it's a prophetic thing tied in, and on the bottom of your screen, there's a number you can call or you can swipe your card there. Run in the other direction. And be careful who gives you those words. I've had somebody come up to me, I just got to give you a little word. And I go, and I make sure my body language, my foot is here, and there's some space there. And there's been a few times I've seen hands coming toward me, and I've actually just held the hand before it touched me. And you need that deserve. By now, you should know enough that your senses have been exercised, and you don't need to get on the phone and call a line to say, is this live, or is it Memorex? Is it God, or is it some kind of foolishness? I'm not saying it's demonic, but a lot of times it's foolishness. It's foolishness. Now, the demonic is getting stronger right now. You know what people talk about aliens? First off, that's a diversion right now. That's a made-up diversion. But I do believe there are demonic things in our earth today. The scripture's clear about it. I believe there are demonic beings and things that people have seen. It is demonic. God is not in any of it. God is not in any of it right now, but it is a diversion to get you looking. So, because people are so dumb and so stupid, they'll take the first thing and they'll walk right off the cliff. It's going to be worse. But my question is to you, how can you survive if you don't look to Jesus and if you don't look to the word right now? You say, well, it's a terrible, yeah, we've never seen a time like this in our lifetime, and it is going to get worse. It is going to get worse. But do you know that David had the same message when his world was unstable all around him? David's word was sure and true even when the world was unstable. Things were being shaken. We've been shook. We have been shook to the core in our world and anything. You're not living in a world anymore that's like, the music is not like that. Somebody said, you know why vinyl sounds better? The songs were better. That's why. And we listen to some music that's on commercials. And do you know that the demonic things have invented things to break the God-ordained concept of melody, harmony, and rhythm? And when that flows together, there is peace inside. But you listen. You go to any of the store, and you hear that. Now, number one, it's played in restaurants, so that you'll eat faster and get out. That's true. Okay, so what I'm trying to say to you right now, when you see the corruption of the music, and a lot of the music that the kids have bought into was created by entities that were demonic. Now, I could go way down the rabbit hole with you right now. I know what I'm talking about. To break away from the norms, the traditions of melody, harmony, and rhythm. Because what that does, that puts ease. But right now, the frenzy, even with the pulsating thing, there's something that is a demonic thing, and people are being, and it's a joke to higher up and evil spirits and evil beings in our world that create, and our kids have bought it. It's not musical. You're not going to be. The other day we were somewhere, and Tyler and I were together, and something was on the radio. I said, "Let me tell you what. You're not going to hear that in an elevator in 20 years." There's no melody. There's no rhythm. But in other words, to break that. Okay, let's break something else that's normal. The mom and the dad. It started simplistically. This is nowhere here. I get to any of this. The mom and dad. Dad, it started with the sitcoms. Dad was always the buffoon. Dad was the goofball. Dad was the one who was crazy. And the breaking of those roles that goes against. Look at those ones and you laugh. And the laugh is a disarming thing there. And you have to know and listen to those things. What they're telling those little children right now of what they can be. You're 3 years old. You can be a boy or girl if you want to. I'm going to tell you something. Men lie. Women lie. Chromosomes tell the truth. And we live in it, but to corrupt that. I got a friend that teaches in a public school, and he's in junior high in another state right now, and they had to have a meeting. They had to have a meeting with some crazy, crazy lunatic mom who said, little so-and-so thinks he's a cat. And they wanted to put a litter box for comfort in the classroom. I'm going to tell you, right, that's time to get fired right there. Lady, you're insane. This boy needs treatment right now, and he needs a devil cast out of him in your house right now. But to break down, and even to the point that we, you need to call me by these certain things. What does it do? It breaks down that which has been laid out in Scripture. It breaks it down. The home, the breakdown of the home is there. And it's so, well, they've all been missed. I understand those things. The father situation, that would solve a lot of it. But you understand what I'm saying? But David felt the same way. His world was going to pieces right now. You're going to see a text now that you'll hear off and on for the rest of the month. Psalm 11, verse 1. Here's what you need to know. I trust in the Lord for protection. Now, what do you need to know for your brand new start? What do you need to know for your brand new year? That is looking to the Lord. That's looking to the Word. Say it with me. Ready? I trust in the Lord for protection. You need to tell yourself that. And everything's going after him right now. By the way, the New King James right there says it this way. In the Lord, I will put my trust. You got it? Some writers seem to feel that this statement and this chapter actually came while Saul was chasing David, okay? And here he was in he had the rightful place and the rightful word to be that king, but yet he was on the run, and there was a lot going on there. And he said, I will trust in the Lord for protection. Don't you think he knew some trust in chariots, some in horses? But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's another scripture song for you. So he's responding to the crazy people. So why do you say to me, fly like a bird to the mountain for safety? The wicked are stringing their bows and fitting their arrows on bowstrings. Stop right there. We are living in a world right now where the enemy is stringing the bow. We are living in a time right now where the arrows are getting in place. See, what we're facing right now started in the heart of over 50 to 60 years ago in some people right now. The devil plays the long game. See, we've lived long enough. Well, they're telling you now of what not to discuss at Thanksgiving dinner. They're telling you now, because what happens is, over the passage of time, thanks to the NEA, thanks for the unions that are run by screwballs, and the NEA people, they're crazy as loons. But they play the long game, and 25 and 30 years ago, they wrote them off. They wrote you off 25 years ago. They've been working on the ones that have been coming up over these years like that. So therefore, you've got some that are entering this age group, and you look at them and go, where'd you come from? You know, where did this come out of your mind? This is the years and years of repetition. It's like our coastline down there. You take a picture of our coastline from 15, 20 years ago, it looks different than it does right now. Not because something happened on one day. It was because day after day, wave after wave, a little bit came out, a little bit came out, a little bit came out. And before you know, you look down and it's gone. There's nothing of any of this on this paper. And David is overwhelmed right now. He knows they're conspiring. Do you realize people want to stop our word and our gathering? And it says they shoot from the shadows. Okay, what's that mean? Secretly. Grandma used to say they throw a brick and they hide their hand. That's an old-timey country saying. But secretly, you're just living your life. But secretly, the enemies. Can I just lovingly tell you, the demons didn't take off between Christmas and New Year's. Every day. That's why over and over I told you, put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand. You know where I'm going to end up in a few weeks, don't you? They shoot from the shadows. That means secretly. And who do they target? Anybody saying any goofy thing's got a good life right now. They're fine. But it says they shoot at those whose hearts are right. Now, what did I say to you a minute ago? They broke down that which is conventional, that was laid out in Scripture. The things, the music even that God created in the heavenlies. The heavens declare there's great music and great sound. Sound is so important in music that the crowning creation was Lucifer, and he was the one, and it says he had great pipes in him, that all the sound went through him like a pipe organ like you've never seen before, that came out through him and the great sound there. And what happened? He got in the middle of it. He said, this is so good and sound, so I want to keep this for me. And naughtiness and iniquity was found in his heart. So here's the thing. David sees all these things, but look at verse 3, and this is where we land for a long time for the next few weeks. He said, the foundations of law and order have collapsed. Are we living there? I'm sorry. I love and honor our enforcement. I've grown up to honor that and to do that, but I'm frightened of it right now. I think people of faith, there's a target on them. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. And the question is, what can the righteous do? The New King James says this, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? If that was a country song, the lyric would be, and that's all she wrote. If the foundation, we are at a point right now, we are here. I was reading a writing that somebody wrote. He does not fit the profile of anybody in this room. His background as an entertainer, he looks different than anybody from around here. But there is something going on inside of him. And he doesn't even claim to be a Christian. And he understands that through the foundation of the God that I told you I believed in, there is a system of morality. And the concept is, if that foundation is gone, all bets are off. And he wrote this the other day. He said, and he just wrote this question. He's not even sure he knows. He knows there's something. And he wrote this statement. He said, what's going to happen if the West loses Christianity? Now, first off, no, God is in his holy heaven. Okay? He's got that. But there are times in our, when you read the historic books, that God stands back, that God allows things. He won't stand for it forever. And he wrote this statement. He said, what if the West loses Christianity? I understand the thoughts behind his cry, and I understand David's cry. If the foundations are destroyed, that's law, that's order, that's a court, that big court there up in D.C., those tablets that are up there on the wall, there's a guy named Moses that's there. They'll be sandblasting him off pretty soon. I understand the thought behind David's cry, behind this young entertainer's cry, and the cry of my heart. Here's what we're feeling. We are in the process where the foundations are being destroyed. The moorings have been intentionally removed, the things we can hold on to. That's why we've gone through the years of erasing history. I asked a question, did we learn from our mistakes this year? Some of our history is very good. Some of it is not very good. What's the key? Learn from the good, avoid the bad, and don't create the mistake again. That's true in anything. The moorings have been removed. History has been erased. Traditions are being destroyed. We're at a point now where normal has been ridiculed, has been undermined, and actually is in the process of being recast of what normal is. But you got to know where David was at that point in time. All of his normal was being destroyed. The law and order was crumbling. Where he should have had the law to help him, it was crumbling right now, and the unrighteous were winning the battle right there. So we read those first three verses, his opening statement. David's genius in some of his writings. He's so us. You read that first statement, he's coming out like a lion. I trust in the Lord for protection. Then all of a sudden, he starts quivering a little bit. Yeah, but you know what they're doing right now? They're telling me I need to go hide somewhere. You know, and here I am. I'm waiting for the next shoe to fall. I can't even sleep at night. I'm sleeping with one eye open right now because they're going to start shooting at me when it gets dark. What's going on right now? And he's finally saying, so if the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? And David, even in the worst of times where he was, and us in the worst of times where we are right now, verse 4 is what you need to get down deep in your heart. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Sometimes that's all I got. Sometimes that's all I got. Sometimes that's all I have. Sometimes I just hang on. That's all right. I feel that way right now too. Don't worry about that. The Lord is in his holy temple. There's something inside of him that knows I can't see it right now. I don't even feel it right now, but I just know he's there and he's going to come. And when all is well in the world, as far as he's concerned, but not in our own eyes right now, we need to know that the Lord is in his holy. You know what I did right there? I took that whole first phrase and I wrote it in all caps on my notes. And I also wrote this, and the Lord, and I underlined the word still, the Lord still rules from heaven. Nothing has changed. Linda said, do you love me? I said, yes, I do. Well, you haven't told me in a long time. I told you 40 years ago, and if anything changes, I'll let you know. You know that's a joke. And by her face, it's not a good one, I'll tell you that right now. Now watch this, though. Now watch this. It's not just making an affirmation and waiting for the heaven train to pick you up. Watch this. Notice what happens here. He's letting us know what's going on. Who's he? That's right, the Lord. He watches everyone closely, examining every person on earth. I have to remind myself on that when I see the crazies getting away with so much. Anybody fight with that right now? Or are y'all too spiritual? You know, I'm thinking, God, if you'd listen to me, I could help you for a minute. Some little thunder, lightning right over there. That would work right now. That would take care. Just shut that up right now. You've done that before. You need to remind yourself the Lord watches everyone closely. We opened up the December month by saying he's got the whole world in his hands. But notice this word, examining. I told you a few minutes ago that examine is a communion word too. That's a close look. Notice verse 5. It says, the Lord examines. Stop right there. You know what I wrote in parentheses for me? The Lord is paying attention. I wish he'd tell me, though. I wish he'd tell me. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. How many of you think sometimes the Lord examines you more than everybody else? Anybody have that right there? Anybody feel that way? Well, yeah, that's church guilt. Everybody's got that. You know what I mean? Come on. Some of you are raised in that. He examines both the righteous and the wicked. But notice this word. You don't see this with God. I got ahead of myself a few minutes ago where it says he hates those. God hates? But God is love, man. God's love. He just loves everybody. No matter who they are, no matter what they do, he loves them all. He loves them all. He's not sure what he is. Yes, God loves him, but he hates that evil that is trying to deceive and to destroy them. And he really hates those who have been doing that stuff on people, teaching them. I don't have time to go in. You talk about the discerning. Forget the Bible. He gave you common sense. But where did that come from? The scripture. If there is no foundation, there is no right. There is no wrong. There is no weird. Only those who say, I love the Lord and the Word, you're the weird ones. And if they can stop you, if they can kill you off, if they can thin this herd, if they can do that with farmers, if they can do all of those things and then stop, see, the whole thing is to stop you from movement, to keep you in one geographical area. Boy, none of this is here. God doesn't hate. Yes, he does. It says he hates those who love violence. That means violence against his people. That means violence against his edicts that he's laid down. The parameters of the morality, the parameters of the physical body, the parameters of the home, the parameters of the self there, of the individual person that's fearfully and wonderfully made in the hands of God. Everyone, he hates anybody who is wicked against that. And don't forget, he still has the panache to do some fun stuff. Verse 6, he's going to rain down blazing coals. How many of you said to God, God, I want to be around to see some of that right now? He will rain down blazing coals and burning sulfur, and that's even going to smell bad. He's going to burn sulfur on the wicked, punishing them with the scorching winds. You say, you're reading this thing and you're smiling. I got to have something to smile about. It's bad right now. The Lord is in his holy. Do you realize his first day? The Lord is in his holy temple before he launched off into that. So how do we tell? It said the Lord is examining the righteous and the wicked. How can we tell the difference? How do you tell the difference? We're talking about, I can tell you a way. You can tell the difference between the righteous and the wicked by their appetites. By looking at their appetites. Are they looking to the Lord? Are they looking to the Word? Or are they looking some other way? You see, because their appetites are supported by, remember what David said, that the foundations are destroyed? The implying that the foundation of righteousness, okay? The foundation of the Word, the foundation of holiness. By their appetites, though, our appetites are supported by the foundation that is already in there. That's the foundation of what we believe. And you will be able to tell the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Verse 7. For the righteousness of the Lord, that's verse number 7. The righteous Lord loves justice. Can I just tell you right now? You want the Lord to really, really tune into you? He tunes into the righteous. It says his ears are tuned to the cries of the righteous people, to the plight of the righteous people. And he says the virtuous, what foundation is trying to be destroyed right now? The integrity and the virtuous. Do you see where we are? That's where David was. So there's a tendency for you to think it's never been like this. No, it's not been like this in your lifetime. But you do need to know that amidst all of this, the Lord is in his holy temple. The virtuous will see his face. This message that I'm starting for these next few weeks is an important foundation word. It's a foundation word. And this is the word, and this is the thing that will change people, that will change things, that will change the foundations. Because this word is truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, I just love this so much. Sanctify them. What does that mean? That means set them apart for honor, for use, for integrity. Sanctify them through thy truth. Why is that? What did Jesus say? Because what? Thy word is truth. Say those three words. Thy word is truth. Whenever you get in this situation, four words. Thank you, Lynn. Appreciate you. I said five. She went like that. I got all kind of help around here. I was looking at the quote. His word is truth. Look to Jesus. Look to his word. Regardless of what Jack Nicholson would say, you must handle the truth. You got to handle the truth. You got to handle the truth. You have to do the truth. Truth is a big thing right now, but they don't want your truth. They don't want your God. They don't want the foundation of the word. They don't want the foundation of what was laid out in our history, even before any of us breathed on this world, even Father Adam. A friend of mine said there's three things that tell the truth: small children, drunk people, and yoga pants. You can't handle the truth, can you? So he told the young man, Paul told the young man in chapter 2 of the 2 Timothy book, so be diligent. King James language, after diligent, the word says study. Study. Look to the Lord. Look to the word. That is your foundation. Be diligent, or study, to present yourself approved by God. Now remember what David wrote in the Old Testament? His eye is upon all creation, but he especially is looking at those who will walk righteously before him. Look to him, look to the word. Remember when I said, when I read the thing before, he said, you've been around long enough, you ought to be doing some things right now, but I'm still carrying you all on my back. I'm still giving you Sunday school lessons. That's what you're hearing in church right now. God is love. Write that down in blank A. Love. Write that word right there. Now you take that. God is good. That's blank B. Put good right there like that. And walk out. And he loves the world. Write the world right there in that. God bless you, Lord. Keep you. They got good movies out there. No, there's nothing there when the wind blows and the storm comes. David said, what am I going to do? Boy, I got a lot of repair to do on these notes. He said, so be diligent to present yourself approved of to God, a worker who does not be need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Thy word is the truth. Okay? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember earlier when I read, not being able because you don't have enough truth in you to discern the difference between good and evil. You got that? I mean, this all connects. True, you can't deny truth. Going to hit truth over the next few weeks right now. Churchill said it this way, truth is incontrovertible. Some of y'all might need to look that word up. He said, panic may resent the truth. Ignorance may deride the truth. And malice may distort the truth. But there it is. That's what we're living in right now. Now, he thought at that point in time, that's the worst the world was. And it was up to that point. He's like David, but the word is truth. That's where we used to play those games out, and there was a chase, and there was one area we knew we could run to. Remember that? And what was that tree called usually? The safe tree. I'm going to show you the safe tree. You can't touch me. This is safe. Look to the Lord. Look to the word. The foundations are being destroyed. Look to the Lord. Look to the word. You don't need to go hide in your hole either. You don't need to get under your bed, get beans and bullets, and run to the hills. No, you don't need that. You just need to be looking to the Lord. You need to be doing smart things. You need to make sure you got some cash in your house, but they're going to take that away from you pretty soon. Don't believe everything you're doing. Grandma won't, you won't be sending $20 in a birthday card to little Jerry. You won't be sending anything like that. You won't be paying a babysitter or the little fella that mows your lawn for $10 and maybe takes your groceries because they want to know what you're doing with that while they're getting checks for $300,000 to chase prostitutes and blow it up your nose. Because the foundations have been destroyed. The moorings have been broken. Speaking of truth, we will be involving ourselves in the next few weeks about the concept of foundation. I'm not going to take the time. I was going to talk about foundation. But the examination was a communion word. You know, when you're in a house and you have some problems, they have a new thing now where they have little cameras. When they run them under the foundation, they're looking for cracks. They're looking for broken pipes. They're looking for leaks. And you got to go up under that foundation to see what's there. And we're in a point right now where the foundations are collapsing all around us. And we need a serious diagnosis. We'll be doing that all this month. Then we will know. What do you mean, what will we know? In our personal lives and in our spiritual walk, and even in our world, the foundation is cracked from neglect, from assault, from faulty materials. There's only one foundation. From faulty work. How does a country fall? How does a life cave in? How does a church find itself as just a little powerless little club? The foundation is faulty. We need something stirring in our spirits. And you need to know from square one, like Paul said in Philippians 3, we are covenant people who worship God in the Spirit, and we have no confidence in the flesh. That's what you have to know. That's what you have to know. Everything lasting, everything meaningful is built on foundation. And the only foundation begins with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians verse 3 says it this way. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. We're laying a foundation right now. We need to learn. But in the meantime, there are things we know we can do. The very last verse I leave with you is again from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation stands. The solid foundation of what? God. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his. Is that what David said? The Lord watches everybody, but he especially is tuned to the righteous, those who will walk before him. The Lord knows who are his, and so let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Next week, we'll talk more about building the foundation. We're talking about standing, stability, and security. I don't have an answer when the foundations are being destroyed, but just know this. The Lord is in heaven, and he's looking down. Make sure you are looking to God and looking to the Word. Let's stand.